Faster Mike. Good afternoon, 7 minutes past 12 midday. Man in line with you through till 1 o'clock. Call 66 13 68. Text on 166 177 or email studio at manxradio.com. So the story is 36 new cases of COVID detected yesterday. We now have 372 active cases of COVID-19 on the Isle of Man. 4 people are in hospital in Nobles with COVID. Nobody is in ICU. 192 people waiting for the result of a test. And 82 people booked in today for a test. From the vaccination dashboard, 129,416 total vaccinations, 65,475 first doses, 63,941 second doses. That's 98% have had 2 jabs, and 106 over the next 7 days, 24,114 shots of vaccine in stock. Also, later on this week, the booster jabs are going to be out and about. The rollout of booster jabs to older adults and some of the most vulnerable members of the community starting this week, boosting immunity for COVID-19 for the coming winter. Now, the operation is going to be on a similar scale to delivery of the first phase of COVID-19 vaccinations in January this year, continuing the biggest mass vaccination program ever undertaken. I think we sometimes overlook that. It's the biggest mass vaccination ever undertaken in the island. Boosters are given from 6 months after the second dose of your COVID. And the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines are going to be offered to people, all people in the booster program, in line with the professional advice that mRNA vaccines provide a strong booster effect. So from today, the 4th, it's going to be turn of adults aged 70 and over and the clinically extremely vulnerable individuals to have booster jabs going to be given at the GP surgery or at the Chester Street Hub. And if you attend the GP surgery, you may also be offered a flu jab. So it's 2 for 1 there. But that's the story today. The rollout of booster jabs starts today. I want to just go to the TT because we were talking about TT last week and whether it's actually going to go ahead, what's going to happen, and the replacement TT scoreboard. Well, the replacement TT scoreboard won't be in place for 2022's races because Treasury says the business case for the new structure wasn't strong enough. So Treasury has said no. The historic manual scoreboard operated by the Scouts was taken down late last year after reaching the end of its lifespan. Department for Enterprises put forward proposals for a new, more modern board, but it's now going to have to resubmit plans for approval in next year's budget, meaning it's unlikely to be ready before 2023. Now, the member responsible for motorsport is Rob Callister, MHK.
We put a bid into Treasury. Treasury asked for a stronger business case, and that is what we've done. It will now go through the budget, the general budget process, and the capital bid has already been submitted. I think we may have to look at a temporary option for 2022, but with the scoreboard coming back in 2023.
And you say a stronger business case there. We know how important the TT is to the Isle of Man economy. What stronger business case was needed?
Well, they asked for more information because it is quite a considerable amount of money that we're asking. It's not just the scoreboard. There's also the timekeeping hut and there's other works as well, the groundworks to be done. So they've just asked for us to do it in a different way. We've complied with that. Hopefully that will go to Tynwald next year in the budget. And then from that, hopefully it'll be built and in place by 2023.
So what will the scoreboard look like in 2022? Is there going to be a temporary structure?
There will be a temporary one, but we don't have any details on that. But what I can assure people is I've looked at the plans for the new scoreboard, and it's exactly what I promised back before the scoreboard came down a couple of years ago.
And generally, how are plans progressing for TT 2022? Is everything heading in the right direction?
Yeah, I mean, the DFE motorsport team are working tirelessly in order to be ready and to actually have the event ready to go. And hopefully full details will be put in the public domain very soon.
A lot of excitement, though, coming back after 2 years off, I imagine.
I think the whole island's waiting for the TT to come back. We need to come back stronger. And we also need to improve the visitor experience when they come here.
Rob Callister talking about the fact that there's not going to be a permanent scoreboard for 2022. And, well, you take that, take from that what you will. I just wonder what your thoughts are on that. I've been receiving incidental, unauthorized texts and emails for the past couple of weeks from various people saying, really, what we're going to have is two articulated lorries backed up to each other with matrix, dot matrix scoreboards, where the scoreboard is at the moment. There are going to be temporary scoreboards. There we are. It's not going to be there for 2022. There will be no replacement TT scoreboard. We never even saw a kind of artist's impression as to what was going to be there. So you just wonder what all the thousands of people will think when they see the temporary scoreboard up there. Also, let's move to Ramsey as well, something we've talked about a lot in the past couple of weeks. The loss of more than 50 car parking spaces could be the death knell for retail in Ramsey. Now, it's a warning from businesses in the north of the island. The Department of Infrastructure has unveiled plans to redevelop West Quay in Ramsey. £4 million to be spent, including a new seawall, reconstruction of roads, and fewer places for you to park.
Those plans were shared in detail at a public meeting held in the town on Friday, where representatives from the department were on hand to discuss the redevelopment. Director of Highway Services Jeff Robinson is the man leading the project.
The town already floods, and that's going to accelerate over the coming years. So I think most people in the town accept that something has to be done. We've taken the opportunity of putting that flood wall in and the requirement to reconstruct the road, which is failing and is in abysmal condition, to say, should we look at this space again? Can we protect the views over the harbour? Can we create a nice space where people want to spend time and dwell, rather than perhaps just come in and do a very utilitarian job? So those are the plans that we put forward for a slightly enhanced scheme. And we're really putting that to planning and to the people in the town after 2 years of consultation with the local authority and others, trying to find a compromise route through everybody's legitimate concerns to how we move forward. There is acceptance, I think, that something must be done. It's trying to finalise the details of what.
Tensions were high at the meeting, with residents accusing the department of a lack of consultation. And there were even cries of, we don't want another Douglas Promenade. Local butcher Rob Tier and businesswoman Karen Jones were both concerned about the impact the loss of parking will have on Ramsey's retail economy.
Ramsey's unique selling point is the fact that you can park. That's why Ramsey is successful. You know, Peel, Castletown, everywhere's gone really quiet when they've taken parking away. Ramsey works because we park in the town. You take the parking out of the town, Ramsey dies.
We think like a loss of 60 parking spaces would have big impact on the street. And the street is a big employer collectively, and it's a lot of income, mostly independent businesses. And if you went to a large supermarket and said, we're taking away 60 parking spaces, they'd think you were, you know, that would be a major concern. So it is for us too.
It's a concern echoed by Ramsey MHK Dr. Alex Allinson, who told me he believes a more joined up approach is required.
Although I think most people want flood defences and most people want some regeneration of the quayside, particularly the road, they're worried about the loss of parking. And I would advocate that we need a joined up plan where we can actually have decent parking in Ramsey preserved and also regenerate the quay. So taking this one scheme on its own tonight, I think loses the bigger picture.
Is that typical of government planning and government thinking, though? Things tend to come up in silos, so to speak. Shouldn't this plan have been brought forward with the alternative parking options so that you could consider the full picture?
In some ways, yes, but the history of this plan goes back over 10 years, and there have been lots of schemes for extra parking in Ramsey, for transport interchange in Ramsey, for various other schemes, which unfortunately have been left by the wayside. I think what the next administration needs to do is look at these as a round, as you've said, look at them as a whole, because what people don't want is to lose one parking in one area of the town just to be displaced to another area.
That's Alex Allinson talking about this this plan for Ramsey. If you were at the consultation, which was at RGS last Friday night, or you've seen the plans at the commissioners in the town hall. I just wonder what your thoughts are regarding this. DOI just seemed to present it without the commissioners even knowing. And of course, Ramsay has not got a good record at the moment regarding democracy in terms of, you know, the commissioners walked in. There was no election at all in Ramsay. And you consider the size of Ramsay and the challenges that there are in the future regarding the marina, regarding this this brand new redevelopment of West Quay. It'd be nice to hear, possibly we will hear, and of course I think there is due to be a new town clerk in Ramsay fairly shortly as well. Any thoughts on that? Doing away with the traditional scoreboard is like taking the Ramsay hairpin out of the TT, says Terry Kay. Well, it's not going to be there because the business case wasn't strong enough. That's what Mr. Callister said. Can the government explain why they say support local, yet they don't by giving work to a person across who requires a permit, no support for local self-employed, which you think they do after COVID? Just be a bit more detail on that, would you, 203? What's the story behind that about giving work to somebody from across who needs a work permit and not supporting people here? What's the source of all those new COVID cases? How many of the people waiting for testing are travelling away, says Andy. They don't tell us that, Andy. They just give us the figures. You don't knock your house down, says AC, before finance and planning are in place. So whose fault was this? Well, AC says Mr. Callister's fault. You don't knock your house down before the planning and the financing for the new one is in place. And Paul said, could Mr. Callister answer, why did they take the scoreboard down if they didn't have a robust business case to have a new one? Now we have an event with no scoreboard, no sound business case to buy another one. What business case is needed if you can take down an historic scoreboard without a business case, but you can't put a replacement up again? Thank you, Paul, for that note as well. If the scoreboards are like the flumes, this is going to be interesting. The government know nothing about organising and preparation. Well, I'm sure they know some things about that. 505. What's the hold-up? Tread the lure attitude again, that is. Which do you think will be finished first, the flumes or the scoreboard or Douglas Promenade? Talking of which, The last information we had from MyProm, the Douglas Promenade refurbishment people, is that the prom is going to be finished by the end of September. It's the 4th of October today. We haven't heard yet. We don't know which bits are finished, which bits aren't finished. And maybe give them a call, just ask them. When's the prom going to be finished? It will be lovely to hear from those people at the MyProm project team. Maybe they could tell us, when is the promenade actually going to be finished? An official word on that. They shouldn't have sanctioned the removal of the old scoreboard without the new one being agreed. If Rob Callister's seen the plans for the new board, why hasn't everybody else seen the plans? What's the big secret about the new plans for the scoreboard? If it's so good, surely everybody will want to see it. Bert in Port St. Mary said, Andy, the last 2 years of no TT races have cost the Manx taxpayer over £14 million in wages for the races that didn't happen. 14 million. Where'd you get that from, Bert? How many people are on the TT payroll that we don't know about? Marshall's job is still voluntary, but we can't afford a new scoreboard. Well, whether or not there are going to be marshals in place for next year, and of course, not enough marshals, no TT. Lots of training to be done for marshals. Lots come from off the Isle of Man. It will be nice to know, and you can understand some things have to remain commercially confidential regarding the TT. Everybody understands certain things will have to be confidential. But it will be nice to know something, perhaps an official date when the TT is going to start. We don't want to know everything, but perhaps if there's an artist's impression of what the new scoreboard would look like, it'd be nice. Who made the decision to remove the old scoreboard before the plans for the new one were approved? This needs to be considered. Incompetence, says John. David's with us. Hi, David.
Hi, Andy. Andy, I can't believe you just read all out this stuff about Treasury knocking it on the head. they knew the scoreboards had to be replaced. It's been years, probably 5 or 6 years, that the scoreboards needed to be looked at. And the other radio program, I'll have to say, 3FM put a bit about development at the grandstand, about roads, about something going through Nobles Park. We haven't got the grandstand up. And can I just say to you, when I was in the DOI, you budgeted ahead of time. You knew, like, the Laxey Wheel will always want to paint now and again. You knew that government buildings wants a coat of whitewash, otherwise it's not called the wedding cake. You plan these things, you put your budgets together. And I can't believe the Treasury guys, I'm sorry about it, but Alf will make a good Chief Minister. It'll be nice to ask him what actually happened. What was the truth behind the issue? Was it they didn't like the designs or they didn't have the money? We need to progress these things. That's our biggest tourist attraction, whether you like it or not, whether anybody likes the motorbikes or not, or car racing.
Well, the fact is, David, that the TT is a world standard event. I mean, it's world class.
Yes.
The people who come from all over the world, we get 2 weeks. Remember, we get 2 weeks of television coverage on ITV4 for this, and we're going to have a temporary scoreboard.
I just can't believe it, to tell you the truth. And I'd like... the new government's not in. We haven't got a Chief Minister. Alf, I hope you're listening, and you do become Chief Minister. Pull the socks up. Get things done. They must know the basket of things they've got to do at an early stage. The finance is there. Mr. Cannon got permission to have $430 million to help out projects. What's not a... to be on the radar list now, putting that scoreboard together. Why are we asking Mr. Honda, Mr. Kawasaki, Suzuki, somebody's going to come on and say another bike in a minute, I'm sure, BMW, and say to him, look, you've got 10 years to have this worldwide promotion of your motorcycle around the world forever and a day. We go past it every day, don't we? Why aren't they doing it?
Well, it just seems, and communications has been talked about a lot over the past couple of weeks, but the fact that if the Department for Enterprise put forward a proposal, Treasury said no, it'd be nice to know what bit they said no to. They, as you say, they didn't like it. It was too expensive. It was too ambitious. Wrong colour.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Well, that's what we need to know. That's why openness and transparency exists, doesn't it?
All right. Thanks, David. All right, 25 past 12. The replacement TT scoreboard won't be in place for 2022's races. Treasury said the business case for the new structure wasn't strong enough. That's the story. It will be a temporary... Well, unless they can sort it out between now and then, unless the new Chief Minister is going to pull a rabbit out of hat and say, we'll get it all built before the end of May next year, a brand new structure, a brand new design, one that's going to represent the TT for years to come, and one that we'll be happy to show to all the tens of thousands of visitors and the millions of people who watch TT around the world on television. We'll see. The temporary JT says, thank you, JT on 072. The temporary TT scoreboard will probably be one Boy Scout with a laptop. Don't joke, please. Colin said, surely Rob Callister's making this up. What business case do you need? If there isn't a business case for a new one, why did they take the old one down and destroy it? Colin's words, that is, I don't know how they can say that TT can definitely go ahead next year. If COVID's causing problems in the hospitals around the Liverpool area, will this actually happen? The casualties that normally get airlifted across after accidents during racing and the public on open roads, how is that going to work out? How reassuring for the residents of Ramsey, says this texter, knowing that it's in the safe hands of Mr. Robinson at the tiller after his sterling work handling the promenade in Douglas. This is, that was Josh. Thank you, Josh. That's Jeff Robinson, Director of Highways. And we're finding out about that meeting that was at Ramsey Grammar School last Friday about the new development of West Quay. If you're in the north, if you live in Ramsey, work in Ramsey, have a business in Ramsey, How do you feel?
And what we need to do to regenerate Ramsey and improve the retail sector is actually to provide free parking all around the town while still regenerating it. So I see this as one part of a jigsaw, and I hope that the new DOI minister can actually put the other pieces into play.
So what happens next? Well, as Jeff told residents on the night, this is your town, and ultimately they and Timwald will have the final say on the future of the £4 million project.
I think we knew that parking was going to be an issue. It's been something we've been discussing at length with the local authority, and there are opportunities to develop other parking within the town, and we have been talking to the local authorities about that opportunity, so the local authority can develop that. We would support that in any way we can. The reality is, however, we do have to build a seawall, and that is going to impact to a greater or lesser extent the amount of parking available on the quayside. If we don't put as many enhancements and make it look as nice as we tried to, then potentially somewhere there can be more parking. But we tried again to find that compromise. The studies that we've done on parking indicate that at any, on average, there's over 300 parking spaces available in Ramsey. Even at peak times, there are parking spaces available, and a few people in the room tonight, you know, said that there is parking. It may not be where you want, exactly where you want it to be, but there is, generally speaking, parking available. It'll go through a robust planning process, which is, in one sense, the final part of the consultation process for this scheme as it stands as it is. It then needs financial support, it needs political support, and the voices that we've heard tonight will all feed into that decision of whether it gets financial and political support. If it's not what is wanted by the town, then I'm sure we'll have to go away and look again.
29 minutes past 12. That was Jeff Robinson, Director of Highways, talking about this new scheme for Ramsey. And also you heard Rob Teer and Karen Jones, business owners in Ramsey, and one of the two Ramsey MHKs, Dr. Allenson. They were at Ramsey Grammar School on Friday night, and so were we. £4 million. It's going to cost this new seawall, road reconstruction, fewer places to park. But Jeff Robinson says there are 300 spaces in Ramsey at the moment to park. The new ones may not be where you want. Roger with us now. Hello, Roger.
Good afternoon, Andy. Just a thought in relation and regarding the TT scoreboard. I mean, it's astounding, the latest news on that. But just a thought. Do you think it might just have been a coincidence that that announcement wasn't made 2 weeks ago? People might have gone to the elections with a different thought or a different view. It's just something that hit me the first time I heard it was it's come now, and it's really not going to make a difference to our current parliament, regardless of who's going to be the minister. But it's just unbelievable that announcement was made, and like lots of your listeners have said,
it may be Roger, that whoever the new chief minister is, and of course we'll hear the candidates on Sunday, sure, at 12 midday on Manx Radio, we'll hear them live. It may be that chief minister puts rockets underneath this and says we have to have a new scoreboard, and we have to have it by the end of May next year.
That'd be a nice thought, wouldn't it? It's just that just can't believe that they would have a TT without something there where the school board was.
And when you consider that everything else, the scrutineering and the marshalling, everything is, you know, extremely high class, has to be because of the nature of the... and then suddenly you've got some sort of half-baked temporary scoreboard.
Yeah, I mean, what they're going to do, they're going to have people stood there and holding up placards and things. It's just unbelievable. Couldn't make that story up.
Well, it just seems weird. It seems a funny way of going about things, and obviously there's something going on behind the scenes. Obviously, whether it's Department for Enterprise or somebody in Treasury, something's happened somewhere. But you know, a robust business case. It's the TT.
Exactly, and to take that down without any forethought on it is, you would never do it on your home or anything, would you? Without planning permission. And somebody should be taking the task over that decision.
And surely, given the record of capital projects, you know, turning up on time, it doesn't inspire you with confidence.
Well, no. On the back of the Prom and other developments that have and dragged on and gone beyond the costing. I don't know. I'm just gobsmacked.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Good to talk to you. 28 minutes before one on Man in Line on Manx Radio.
Can Do is more than just an attitude. Can Do is extraordinary support in extraordinary times. It's the knowledge and expertise to harness opportunities. Can Do is empowering you to get your plans back on track. Can Do is Canaccord Genuity Wealth Management. Visit candowealth.com to see how we can help you build your wealth with confidence. Canaccord Genuity Wealth International Limited is licensed for investment business by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
For your new bathroom, head to Paysetter, Harris Terrace, Douglas or Spring Valley. In Paysetter's fully fitted showroom, you'll find the latest bathroom products and designs, from new contemporary styles to traditional Victorian tiles, wall and ceiling panels, accessories and much more. With many ranges exclusive to Paysetter's, plus professional design advice from the experts, visit Paysetter Harris Terrace Douglas or Spring Valley.
You can get the best of everything, where the price is twice as nice.
Dreaming about a move to a better, more fulfilling job? Then visit orchardrecruitment.com, where we can introduce you to your perfect career. At Orchard, we make the process easy. Our fully responsive website allows you to quickly apply for jobs, upload and store your CV, manage job alerts, and much more, including live chat with our expert recruiters. So why not register today at orchardrecruitment.com? After all, you've nothing to lose and a great deal to gain. Orchard Recruitment, a refreshing change.
Calling all grown-ups. We need you to be a foster carer. Right now, there are young superheroes like me across the island who are looking for super carers. Anyone can wear a cape and run around stopping bad guys, but being someone who helps a young person grow, being someone who inspires, that's a real superhero. To find out more about the Mockingbird Family Model Pilot and the Family Placement Service, call 61000.
Jump aboard the time train and take a trip back to the 1960s on Carnaby Street every Saturday morning at 8:30 with Isle of Man Railways. It's full of 60s hits and memories. On board the time train, Gladys the Tea Lady.
Right, boys.
Harry the Driver.
Hello, crispy old mate.
Roger the Fireman.
All aboard Isle of Man Railways time train.
Oh, and Raffles the Dog. And of course, you and me. You can win tickets for two for one of the Isle of Man Railway's fantastic dining car experiences. Carnaby Street, 8:30, on Manx Radio, on AM FM, online, on smart speakers, and all over the world at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good to have you along. 25 before one on Manx Radio, and a message in just to say at least the retailers in Ramsey were asked about losing parking spaces. Douglas retailers were never asked about losing parking spaces. That's why the town centre is dying. Lisa said, what's wrong with the Department for Enterprise? We hear Rob Callister saying they have no budget for a new TT scoreboard. Why did they have the budget to tear the old one down? Years of heritage thrown into a skip, and they don't have approval for the replacement. No business case, but they wrecked decades of TT history, says Lisa. The old scoreboard didn't look corporate enough, apparently. They couldn't wait to take it down. Did you get that impression, that they couldn't wait to rip the old scoreboard down? What are the government doing to improve the flight situation? A once-a-day EasyJet flight to Gatwick is useless for business travel, and flights are fairly limited for leisure travel, especially across the weekend. 616 texting in there. It's down to the airlines, really, whether the airlines want to do it or not. I don't think the government has any influence on where that's concerned. They certainly underwrote certain amounts during COVID, but I don't think that situation's anywhere near where it used to be. Just a note in from Roz, just to say thanks to Staged for the show at the Villa Marina last night. Delighted to see the youngsters. Restored my faith in Manx youth. So all the best to you. Thank you for that, Roz, and happy to pay tribute to all the Staged people at the Villa Marina last night. Anne asks the question on everybody's lips. Thank you, Anne, on 425. Why didn't they just keep the old scoreboard up until they were sure what was happening? There you go, Anne, with that common sense stuff again. Another one from 313 said, Andy, why don't you just put the old scoreboard back up with a bit of super glue? I think there's a lot of it gone missing. I totally agree it makes sense to leave a working scoreboard in place until a new system is agreed and the funds set aside, says Sue. I think the scoreboard debacle is a sneaky and shady move to get rid of the TT completely, says Ben. You don't think that, do you? Well, as soon as the new administration is in place, we'll find out what the plans are. Surely they keep talking about the fact that 2022 is going to be fantastic. It's going to be, you know, an amazing TT. And yet we hear nothing about it. In this age of transparency, we don't. A message in from Adrian who said, what's the telephone number for my prom? Well, according to their website, their telephone number, I think, is 686-363. 686-363, or their email address is myprom@gov.im, all lowercase. myprom@gov.im, and the telephone number, Adrian, is 686-363. If you can get a firm date for when the prom will be finished, other than the end of September, that'd be great. Neil said, look, Andy, that scoreboard was knackered. The old scoreboard was ready to fall down. It was being held together by welding steel bars to hold it up. We will get a new scoreboard in time, and when it goes up, it'll look fabulous. Neil, thank you for those words of confidence. It would just be nice to know. It'd be nice to know that officially. And surely somebody somewhere has got an artist impression or a plan. Surely there's a plan somewhere. Because if Treasury turned down the business case for the TT, for the TT scoreboard, surely there was a cost and a design and an estimate for the new scoreboard. So somebody will have known what it looks like. So maybe we could see it, because it is public money, after all, that's being spent on the scoreboard for the TT. And I surely don't think the Treasury needs a business case for the TT as a whole. I'm presuming that it's just because of the scoreboard as well. A message in just to say, how many people are employed by MyProm Isle of Men to provide no updates to the public whatsoever on why it's not finished by the end of September? I went on to Twitter this morning. Nothing, says Mark. No updates whatsoever as to what's happening on the promenade. Mark, we've tried. All I say is we try all the time to get information as to what's happening on the promenade. They smile very sweetly at us, and we don't hear anything. If you want to work out when the TT will be, it's easy. Mad Sunday is always the first Sunday in June, says Tony. I know, Tony, that's great, but we need to hear it officially. It'd be nice to hear an official member of the department or an MHK or a minister when the new administration arrives, somebody actually to say, this is going to start. And on this day, this will happen. That day, that will happen. These are the races. This is what's going to happen. There's going to be a fun fair or there's not going to be a fun fair. This is what Nobles Park's going to look like. The snooze boxes will be here or they won't be here. Just something. Is the lack of a TT scoreboard just another step towards doing away with the TT, says Malcolm. Gaz says, Andy, the government delayed the start of the vaccine programme until indemnity was in place. Does the government have indemnity to give Pfizer on top of AstraZeneca and to show the efficacy of a booster vaccine developed in 2020 before the Kent and Delta variants? Says Gaz, well, the boosters are starting today. Nobody seems too bothered about the speed of the roadworks in Kirkmichael, says Ian. All they're doing is altering the curbs and a new crossing. The way they're doing it will take longer than the whole length of Douglas Prom, where they've been doing major works. If they say it's being done as traffic calming, making the village 20 miles an hour and stopping parking on the road, it would have been much cheaper. Are the roadworks still... They were supposed to be finished at the end of September in Kirkmichael. Are they still on, Ian? And a note in just to say, I'm sure the next administration will run TT 2022, says Dick, but it's obvious the current upsurge in cases, COVID this is, comes a week after the thousands of people crowded together at the food and drink festival with hardly anybody wearing a mask. We have to accept that TT 2022 will cause an outbreak of COVID like nothing we've ever seen. unless the new MHKs insist on masks, vaccine certificates, test. You name it, one little event's caused hundreds of cases. It'll be 1,000 times worse unless we have to wake up to the truth. There's one thing, lap times will be a lot slower if they have to queue up for a COVID test in the pit lane. Please wear a mask when inside with others. It works, says Dick. Yeah, that's your view, Dick. We don't know whether it was the Food and Drink Festival. Lots of people, there have been lots of things happened. Remember, there were two shows. There were thousands, tens of thousands of people at both agricultural shows. There was the Food and Drink Festival, and restaurants are open all the time now. So lots of people are inside. So, well, we'll see, won't we? As the flu starts to bite, as the coughs and colds start to happen, we'll see what happens. David with us now. Hello, David.
Good afternoon, Andy. Yeah, this is fiasco about the scoreboard. I think it's absolutely ridiculous because the Treasury seem to throw money at a steam packet building across. That's going to be ongoing. Whatever it costs, they're going to throw money at it. We've got £9 million at the airport on tarmac and everything. The promenade, that's gone over budget. Everything that they do goes over budget. Now, all they had to do was replace this. The flumes is a disgrace. How are they able to get away with everything and let everything go so far over budget? And I think somebody with powers to be doesn't want a TT on the Isle of Man.
It just seems weird, the fact that they ripped down the old scoreboard, and you remember nobody knew where it was for a fortnight, and then and suddenly to say the business case. It doesn't. I mean, who's saying there's no business case for a scoreboard? I mean,
It's part of our heritage. It's a TT heritage. Now, how can somebody just decide not to put one back up or put something up that's going to look absolutely ridiculous and make us look at a laughing stock? Do you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, if they pull it out of the bag, either they approve a new one, get it all built, but then again, it's 6 months, 7 months to get it built through the winter, or we're going to have two matrix boards backed onto each other on the back of an articulated lorry.
It was made out of timber. Do you know what I mean? It's not rocket science. They'll have original plans for it if they want to put it back the same, and it should be put back the same.
Do you think it should be a recreation of the heritage scoreboard?
Yeah, it should be. It's over 100 years TT. That scoreboard's been there for how long? Now, powers to be, they're mostly the ones who don't even like the TT, and they're just going to try and get away with saying, oh, it costs too much money. Well, you can't say that one, because just the biggest one at the minute is the steam packet building across in Liverpool. That started off at, what, 15 million? It's going to be over 50-odd million by the time it's finished. And it's not even on the Isle of Man. They're willing to throw money at stupid stuff, but nothing that's part of our heritage. I think they should all be bloody sacked.
All right. David, thanks for calling today.
Okie dokie. All right.
All right. 14 minutes before one. When's the last time Ramsey flooded unexpectedly and most of it comes up through the drains? We should put the flaps in drains and drop in a temporary defence the couple of times a year that it's needed. Resurface the road, leave the quayside and parking as it is, rather than loads of granite trip hazards like Parliament Street and years of disruption and expense. Well, last week I think Wilf Young was on saying you need a 2-foot wall. That's about it. The one that they're proposing, I think, is a lot more than 2 foot. St Mary's School has been reopened. The Isle of Man, I think they spent £4.5 million to transform St Mary's School. There's a total revamp. They've seen additional classrooms created. The hall's been extended. Lifts installed to make the split-level site fully accessible for the first time. The 1960s building has been improved. There's a designated library area now at St Mary's, outdoor activity classrooms, a new refurbished kitchen, and new disabled toilets as well. However, a note in just said, Andy, St Mary's Primary School officially opened after refurb, but is the external cladding fireproof or just accepted, says Andy. Well, that's certainly a note. They've not said that it isn't fireproof, but you'd just hope that it would be. A text in that says another example of government not supporting the motorcycle community on the Isle of Man, adding weight to what David Knight spoke about last week. David Knight said, we could have world-class stuff here. The government doesn't want it. That was it's not just anybody. David Knight. If you have the cycle race, there'd be a scoreboard up already. It's sad, but it seems there's just no more support for the biggest tourist earner to the Isle of Man, says Jimmy. Here's Tommy with us now. Hi, Tommy.
Oh, hi, Andy. It's not just the grandstand area, you know, Andy, it's the campsite as well. Nothing's been done to that all over the years that I've been going over there. And you don't need much rain for it to be all sloppy. And it's an embarrassment. I have to apologise every year pretty well, you know, to these good people coming over. And they deserve better than that, Andy.
What do you think they could do on the campsite? I mean, how could they improve it?
Well, they could do a bit of drainage to start with, Andy. That might help.
Do you get the feeling, though, that this... I mean, I don't know whether there's more to this than meets the eye. The fact that the Department for Enterprise had a plan and Treasury said no...
Yeah, of course there is. I think underneath their office, they want to get rid of the CD, and even more brings a huge financial source into the island. But it's ridiculous. A quick aside, Andy, I was walking around with Ari one time and over the dog park and early morning with the CD. And to my surprise, I came around the corner and I saw this little tent in this little copse of trees in the dog park. And I said, what am I going to do here? Because I said, you can't exactly knock on a tent, Andy, can you? So I had to give him a little shout and the head popped out. And I said, do you realise you're in the dog park here, lads? Another expletive deleted and they had to move out, Andy.
Well, it does make you think. I'd not consider the because everybody, they always seem really happy when they're there, but it could be a lot better, you reckon, then?
Oh, of course. I mean, the TD crowd will always make best of it, Andy, won't they? But you can't treat people like, they can go to all these racetracks around the UK and then even foreign, and they'll meet better conditions than you get here, Andy, honestly, and that's the truth.
Okay. All right, Tommy, have a good day.
Yeah, and you, Andy, cheers, bud.
10 to 1 on Manx Radio. Why would anybody in Ramsey believe what the highways people are saying, seeing the mess they've made of Douglas Promenade? Are the highway people out to bankrupt Ramsey traders, having seen half of the Douglas traders off? A message in now regarding, here we are, why are people whinging about the funding for the scoreboard hasn't been approved? There are lots of complaints that government are constantly wasting money, and when the Treasury has to say no to a project that may not seem cost-effective, people aren't happy. Unbelievable hypocrisy, says PC. And thank you to my friend JM, who supplied me with the Ramsey flooding images of Friday the 3rd of January 2014, when it all went very, very wet in Parliament Street, the flooding there. Friday the 3rd of January 2014. So how bad will the flooding be in Ramsey? Nobody actually knows. So what are the mitigating measures that are taken? Somebody has to make a decision. Inevitably, somebody's not going to like their decision, but it's a decision has to be made. If there's going to be flood mitigation in Ramsey, who's going to make that final decision? DOI? Commissioners? Referendum? You never know. We haven't even talked about the marina yet.
If your business buys professional indemnity or directors and officers liability insurance, you'll be well aware that premiums are rising and cover is being reduced. Aon can talk you through the different exclusions to help you get the best deal. We're one of the largest international insurance specialists and we're here to help. Call 692-400. Aon Isle of Man. Aon Isle of Man Limited is registered with the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority as an insurance intermediary in respect of general business. When you're looking for your next dream vehicle, come to Rex Motor Company. Whether it's sales or leasing, servicing or detailing, we're on hand and ready to help. We have new stock arriving daily, so no matter what you're looking for, we're your one-stop shop for all your motoring requirements. Come to our showroom in Whitehoe Industrial Estates just off the Old Castle Town Road, or visit rexmotorcompany.im. That's rexmotorcompany.im. Rex Motor Company, for all your motoring needs.
Most worthwhile things in life need care right from the start. At Moore Stephens Business Sense, we know that from experience. We've coached 150 startup businesses. Our suite of services supports the very personal needs of those courageous individuals who set out in businesses of their own. Yes, we're part of Moore Global, operating in more than 110 countries, but we understand that big or small, business requires the personal touch. Trust us today to take it personally when you call on 662020.
Dave's barely slept a wink for days, tossing and turning all night, worrying about that new automated garage door he needs. Well, luckily for him and his wife, he's finally found the Garage Door and Gate Automation Company, the only specialist on the island with a fully staffed showroom and manufacturer-trained team for top-quality, fully guaranteed work. And they don't take a penny till the job's complete. So don't lose sleep over making the right choice. Visit manxgaragedoors.com. Sleep tight, Dave.
Manx Radio Breakfast, powered by IQ.
On this morning's programme, Ramsey led the agenda with lots of response from you to the proposed developments for West Quay.
There is acceptance, I think, that something must be done. It's trying to finalise the details of what.
Ramsey's unique selling point is the fact that you can park. That's why Ramsey is successful.
And we'll be back in the morning when we'll have the next edition of our brand new quiz on breakfast, Mind the Gap. Work out the missing song lyric, and at the end of the week, you could fill up your tank with road fuel from Manx Petrol.
So join us tomorrow from 7:30 for Manx Radio Breakfast here on the Nation Station.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
6 minutes before one, this coming Wednesday, Department of Health and Social Care Minister, Minister for Health and Social Care David Ashford, will be live on Man in Line between noon and one. If you want to speak to Mr. Ashford or you want to put a question to him, then you can live on the air. In the meantime, if you want to get a question in, the answer phone will be on 682-631, or you can email maninline@manxradio.com, and I'll get the questions lined up for Mr. Ashford. But he will be live on the air this coming Wednesday, and this coming Sunday we'll have the candidates for the Chief Minister's job live on Manx Radio. 12 midday this coming Sunday, the Chief Minister's, the candidates will be live on Manx Radio, just to see what their plans are. And it's a week tomorrow, I think it is, that the Chief Minister will be elected within Tynwald, within Keys. A quick word this weekend, this coming weekend, the 9th and the 10th, vaccinations for 12 to 15-year-olds. Vaccination clinics are being held this coming weekend for 12 to 15-year-olds. Saturday in the morning at Chester Street Hub in Douglas from 9:30 till midday. And Saturday afternoon, QE2 High School in Peel, 2 till 4:30. On Sunday, 9:30 to noon, Castle Russian High School in Castletown. And Sunday afternoon, 2 to 4:30, Ramsey District Cottage Hospital. This is parents or guardians of children aged 12 to 15 are asked to register online for their child to receive a vaccine under cohort 20, and they need to attend the appointment with their child in order to give their consent at the point of vaccination. So that's this coming Saturday, Chester Street Hub in QE2, Sunday, Castle Russian High School and Ramsey Cottage Hospital. Why don't they just dredge the harbour in Ramsey to decrease the risk of flooding instead of wasting millions on vanity schemes? Lot of dredging going on. Maybe these people are just out of their depth and unaware of the damage that the loss of car parking will cause. Maybe we should get Mr. Callister to put forward a business case for Ramsey. Well, maybe. And a note in also, this is Trevor who just said, at the bottom of all this, are these politicians and civil servants actually just anti-car, anti-driver? That they don't mind getting rid of parking spaces because they know it's not going to affect them. If the numbers in Treasury don't accept the business case for erecting a model and vital piece of equipment in order for the event to run and bringing in millions of revenue for the Isle of Man and businesses, then we're in deep trouble. Says 013. Do they know something we don't? The fact that we don't need a scoreboard mean there won't be a TT next year? All sorts of problem with road racing legislation. What about the Southern Hunter? What about the MGP? We'll leave it there. Thanks to Ben Hartley producing today on Man in Line. I'm Andy Wynn. Back tomorrow at 12 midday. Enjoy the rest of your Monday.